Hello and welcome to the Beard and Hat Connection. As always, I'm the bearded co-host of Vanilla Midget. You can find me on vanillamidget.com and all that stuff. And here is the hatted co-host, if that's how you want to call it.
Mike is the hat. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike, I'm here again for another week of wonderful, you know, in air quotes, wrestling talk after this past couple of weeks of WWE. But we do have a guest with us today, Jeff. Who do we have with us today?
I was going to say, bringing that energy from a man, Nathan D. Paoletta. Introduce yourself, Nate. Let him know who you are, what you're about, my man.
What's up, guys? Nathan Paoletta, as the American way of saying it. I'm a wrestling nerd. I'm a RPG nerd, game designer, publisher. Hanging out with these guys on Twitter for a long time. And
explain everybody about this RPG game you're making that you have the Kickstarter for, the wrestling RPG.
Yeah, so it's a pro wrestling role-playing game, tabletop, pen and paper, play with your friends around a table. It's called Worldwide Wrestling. It's on Kickstarter right now. It's doing really well. We broke past some stretch goals, and we have some extra art. We're getting some awesome essays about wrestling from folks like Aubrey Sitterson and part of the Old School Wrestling podcast, The Black Cat, and some other great writers. And it's all about making up your own guys, putting together your own promotion, and then playing out both the in-ring action and the backstage back and forth about, like, hey, you know, how do guys get pushed? How do they get buried? You know, can you advocate for yourself? And then can you get the butts in the seats and, like, get to be the most popular wrestler you can be? So
it reminds me of, like, Extreme Warfare as a kid, which was like a PC game kind of, but in tabletop, which I really love. I can't wait to see it in action, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be doing some, like, online, like, a Google Hangout session next week to record and have up so people can see how it plays. And then, you know, the folks who are part of the Kickstarter will be getting the first, you know, be getting it first when it releases, and then it'll be a general release thing. And there's a beta playtest document available at the Kickstarter or my site, ndpdesign.com, if people want to download that and check out how it looks.
Yeah, dude, I can't wait to get to it. So then one more question, I guess, would be basically, what do you want to talk about first in the wrestling world, my man?
Well, we got a couple topics. I think we were talking about, we should go ahead and get it out of the way and talk about WWE and the Bella storyline. What's going on?
Yeah, so basically, here's how we wanted to present it. We were talking about it in the pre-show, and it's basically like this. The Bella twins. Worse than Luger? Question mark? Let's go, Nate. What do you think? Are you loving this storyline? Is Jerry Springer coming, making you excited? What are you feeling?
I mean, here's the thing. I like the storyline, but I'm not really in love with the actual personalities delivering the goods, you know? I gotta say, like, I kind of like it despite itself a little bit. I'm like, I want to see where it goes, and I think it's generating interesting energy in the Divas division, and also we get to see Stephanie McMahon on screen more, which is awesome because she's the best. Having Nikki and Brie have 15-minute segments where Nikki's yelling at her and Brie's making her, like, sad cry face is not compelling television for me. I kind of just want it to be over.
Are you excited that they added AJ and Paige and, like, the Divas title to the mix? Is that adding something for you, or are you just kind of like, that's an arbitrary thing, you don't even give a shit?
I think it's good because I think it means that all of the, like, I think they're trying to make all of the Divas stuff kind of matter, which is good. I'm a little worried that it means that the title's going to move to the Bellas and bounce around between them, and that's not the fun I really like Paige as a wrestler. I like to see her wrestle. I like AJ. I think she's kind of stealth gotten really good, like, when she's been on recently, because she had that break where she wasn't on a lot and stuff, and now I'm,
and
like,
she's like Batista. She had to, like, come back and, you know, get back into the ring shape and stuff. Yeah, I understand that.
But like, even in that segment on Monday, like, when she came in and like, busted in and interrupted, I was like, oh, she's killing it. And then she was, you know, standing in the background for 10 more minutes. And it's like,
yeah. Yeah, see, that's the thing. And it's like, all right, so, Mike, basically, here's my question. Do you have a favorite Bella, or do you think they're equally great or equally suck? What do you think about the Bella twins?
Well, I mean, I liked this angle 2 weeks ago when we first talked about it. I was like, this is going to be great. And now, like, after seeing what happened on Monday, I was like, because they are going to ruin, they're going to ruin the Paige-JJ feud with this feud, I think. The Bellas are equally as shitty. Like, they're not good actresses. That's why they don't work. That's why the Total Divas is where they're going to stay. They're not going to get, like, other things from this. They're not going to become big John Cena movie stars. And that's a joke itself, but...
Big John Cena movie star. John Cena sucks at movies. I mean, I guess he's in movies. I wouldn't call him a big movie star. He's no Vinny Chase, my man. So, Nate, what do you think? Do you think Nick Bella is as bad as Brie Bella? Do you like Brie more? What do you think?
Well, I think, I mean, I like how Brie wrestles more, but I think Nikki's better at being an angry, shrieking person. You know, like, I think Nikki being the bad guy in this feud is a better fit for her, and Brie being the babyface here is kind of like, she doesn't know what to do, you know? Like, she just seems like she's whatever. She has lines that she needs to deliver, and she has places she needs to stand, and her only...
See, I almost feel that way about the way she actually works, too. Like, I feel like even Nikki Bella, I prefer her as an actress or cutting promos or whatever, and I prefer her in the ring. I like her new, like, strong style since Dayton John Cena's stuff. Like, her little torture rack backbreaker. I love that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's a good move. I don't know. I feel like I really haven't seen Nikki... I feel like I've seen Brie wrestle. I don't know. I guess I can't really remember a great match that either of them has been in, to be honest. So, maybe I'm just...
Yeah, it's hard to remember a great Divas match that didn't feature either AJ, Natty, or Paige, or both, or two of the three. You know what I mean? Like, those are the best. But I'm hoping with the Divas title that they go somewhere with, like, Stephanie screwing Brie over, and then Paige and AJ can continue on. But I do like that the Divas division's all one thing now. It's not like, you know, operating in a separate world almost, it felt like. So I'm glad about that. Anything else you guys want to say about the Bellas, Mike, or anybody, Nate?
Right at the end there of that segment where AJ had picked up the title after Paige got knocked over and AJ was going to kind of like walk away with it, and Stephanie just kind of stood in front of her and stopped her and was like, give me the belt. That was like the most compelling thing to me because I want to see where that's going to go.
Yeah, I think there's an interesting angle of, like, is Stephanie kind of getting involved, like, with the title? Like, I've seen that a couple of people talk about that online. Like, is she going to start wrestling a little more, or does she care about the title for its own reasons, you know, and outside of this feud? So anything, like I said, anything to get Stephanie McMahon on TV, I'm pro. So that's great.
Yeah, real best heel in the business, basically. So, yeah, can't argue with that. Yeah, what do you got on the line next, Mike? What are we going with?
I mean, what did you guys think of that opening segment on Monday Night Raw where, you know, it was supposed to be the highlight reel, and then it became, like, the Authority show, and then it became, like, everybody bitches that they don't get the number one contender spot, and it just turned into, like, a giant cluster. Nate, what do you think here?
Well, first of all, talk show segments are worse than Luger, worst of all time. So, you know, as soon as the highlight reel happens, I'm like, oh, no. But yeah, it was long. It was kind of boring. I don't really remember it. There's a lot of talking. It kind of was just setting up the six-man, which, you know, probably didn't need 20 minutes or however long it was. And I understand that they're trying to position everyone for the next pay-per-view or whatever, but it seemed like it was really long. And there was some funny stuff that Triple H kind of said, but other than that, I just don't remember it. I'm like, it happened. I probably got a snack or something and waited for it to finish.
I was going to say, you basically summed up my entire feelings on Raw the last 2 weeks. I mean, it happened. There was talking. I don't really remember it. It was fucking garbage. This is the thing. We had two of our best guests, obviously you, my man Nate here, and last week we had my man Arun. But, man, we had nothing to fuck talk about because the WWE's been pretty stale since the week of SummerSlam where they had the WWE title change. I don't know what it is, but I mean, even the one we've seen in Vegas, that Raw we've seen was really good, the post-SummerSlam Raw, but nothing really good since then. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm kind of bummed about that. So let's change the pace a little bit here. Let's go with something a little non-WWE, and let's go with King of Trios. Also, someone is breathing in their mic a little heavily.
That's probably me a little bit.
Yeah, and, but anyway.
So King of Trios, here it is. I have the list of the 16 trios that are going to participate in this year's tournament after they didn't have it last year because of whatever the hell Chikara was doing with their Rising from the Ashes thing. So the Spirit Squad, Kenny, Mikey, and Johnny are the first ones that were announced. Then we had the Spectral Envoy.
Wait, how do you feel? Wait, let's not just jump off of the Spirit Squad here. Do you give any kind of a shit about the Spirit Squad being in King of Trios, Nate?
I think no, because I don't think I ever saw it. Like, I don't really know what their deal is. I think they happened in a time I wasn't watching wrestling. So, like, I have no attachment to them. So I'm like, oh, some guys. And then I've seen some, like, some jokes about, like, hey, like, Ziggler needs to go, like, be their fourth man and stuff. So I guess he was part of that. I actually don't know the history of those guys, so.
Yeah, you didn't miss much. That was also a time when WWE was kind of the worst, and I didn't even really watch it too much either. The best thing was Santino Marella. So, I mean, it is what it is. The Spirit Squad suck. Kenny Dykstra is, like, the thing they got going for them, which when he was in the WWE, I thought he might go somewhere. But he didn't. And so, yeah, I guess let's move on to the next crappy team they have on the worst lineup in the history of King of Trios.
Well, the next crappy team is actually defending champions, the Spectral Envoy. So Frightmare, Hollow Wicked, and my man Ultraman is black.
Hell yeah.
I would do pretty much anything for a dope-ass Chikara figure series for the whole toy spotting gimmick. Because, yeah, just the Spectral Envoy in general, but an Ultraman is black with his staff and coat and mask. Like, that would be the most amazing thing ever. What are you thinking about the Spectral Envoy, Nate?
Well, I mean, I love those guys. I mean, I'm a big Chikara mark. I've seen them a couple times when they come through Chicago. You know, they're awesome to watch in the ring. But, you know, this particular lineup is very Chikara roster heavy, so it's like, it probably wouldn't be King of Trios without those guys, but it's also just not like it's a mind-blowing team to have, right? It's like, they're awesome, they're defending champions, they're going to put on great matches. Great. See how it goes.
Exactly. And it's like, the Spectral Envoy is at least the best iteration of that stable, you know what I mean? Like, the Colony, I don't even know what the hell is going on there anymore. They got like six colonies. You got BDK doesn't have Claudio anymore, obviously. So, I mean, yeah, there's certain things that are like falling off, but it's very, like you said, Chikara, you know, it's their roster. But, I mean, they haven't really worked a lot lately, so maybe it's a good thing for those fans. I just feel bad for people who, like, plan so hard for, like, to come to King of Trios as if it's, like, their WrestleMania and really it's just another Chikara show. I don't know. What do you think? Who's next on the list there, Mike?
So next we got Team UK, Damian Dunn, Pete Dunn, and Mark Andrews.
I don't even know if that's how you say those dudes' last names. What do you know?
Yeah, I don't. Names? I've never heard of those guys. If I was smart, I would have done a little bit of research, so I'd have something to talk about, but I honestly don't know who they are.
Which is cool. Fair, though, we only decided 3 minutes before going live that we were going to talk to the Trios. So you didn't have a lot of research time.
Right.
So.
Well, but, and it's cool that there's stuff that I don't know, right? Because it would be, as much as we're, you know, because we were just running it down from like, oh, it's the whole Chikara roster, and then we're like, oh, but there's guys, we don't know who they are. But,
how dare they?
Yeah, exactly. So that's like, you know, I'm glad there's people I don't know so that when I'm not going this year, but when I do finally get to watch it, be like, oh, maybe I'll get surprised, maybe I'll find someone new, you know, so that's cool.
And you've never been before, right? Like, you've never been to a King of Trios, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I mean, the 1 year me and Mike watched it, it was pretty badass. I think it was 2012. But the year that was obviously my favorite was 2011, because I think that was the year my man Generico and 123 Kid had their match, and 123 Kid took the Brainbuster on the turnbuckle, man. That was so dope. I lost my mind for that shit. So anything else about King of Trios, Mike, any of these other teams you want to bring up specifically?
I mean, we have the colonies on here, Fire Ant, Silver Ant, and Worker Ant. There's a second colony team of the Colony Extreme Force, which is like a shitty G.I. Joe version of the colony, which is funny. Yeah,
I'm okay with this in that it could be like a, you know, the original Midnight Express versus the New Express kind of thing. Only I just don't know which ants are. I mean, Fire Ant, I hope, is the same old Fire Ant, but who are all these other ants? What happened to Green Ant?
Being the Chikara nerd, I can answer that if you want.
Yes, please do. I want that. So bad. I need it.
Silver Ant used to be Green Ant, same guy.
Okay.
He changed his gear and his name.
So he evolved. Okay.
He evolved. And Worker Ant used to be Big Blue Ant, and I think he used to be another guy. So he's the same guy. So those three guys have been like, you know, they're the same guys and they've been involved with like.
And then Soldier Ant gone? Did they squish Soldier Ant or what happened?
I don't know if anything happened to him storyline wise. I just haven't seen him in the roster for a long time.
I love the Colony Extreme Force though. You have Orbit Adventure Ant, Missile Assault Ant, and Arctic Rescue Ant.
So those guys were, their story, right, is that they were introduced as the knockoff merchandise merchandisable version of the colony. So they're like bizarro colony. And so those two teams have had a ton of matches, and they're great. I mean, they just... I mean, Silver Ant is probably my favorite Chikara wrestler of all time, so anything he's involved with, I'm down with. Colony Extreme Force, they're awesome, great to boo. So those matches
it's funny because the very first Chikara match I ever seen was Quackenbush versus Green Ant, who you said mm-hmm. Silver Ant, and it was at We Must Eat Michigan's Brain. Someone sent me that DVD years ago. And, yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was a lot of, you know, just chain wrestling pretty much to get it going. And I think it was even early in Green Ant's career. But, yeah, I like him a lot. What makes him your favorite Chikara guy?
I think just, like, I don't know, just the whole package, right? Like, he's great in the ring. He's acrobatic, but he can chain wrestle. He can tell that story of, like, you know, whatever's going on in the match. He's been around for a long time, so he's wrestled with all these guys. So he's just, like, good with everyone. He makes everyone look great. And he's really nice. Like, I've, like, talked to him a little bit, just, like, buying merch and whatever. Super nice. You know, just great overall.
Do you ever think he'll go past the whole Ant thing and just move on to, like, bigger stuff? Or do you think he'll always kind of just keep it going with Chikara? Or has he already been someone else? I don't even know.
I have no idea. I don't know if he wrestles, you know, not as an Ant. You know, it's certainly possible. I have no idea.
That's crazy. That's kind of the fun thing about Chikara, I guess.
Yeah, they could be anyone. But I don't know. You have some stuff like Jigsaw goes and like wrestles for TNA sometimes, you know, stuff like that. So who knows? Maybe he has something came up for those guys. That'd be awesome. But
my favorite thing about Jigsaw is that he's you know, a Nickman. That's my favorite thing about Jigsaw. But yeah, anything else, Mike, you got on these guys? You want to talk about the Flood? Who's it? Jimmy Jacobs, my boy EK Eddie Kingston. Yeah. Who's Volgar? Nate, who's this Volgar character?
I don't know. The first time I saw him was on this trios list.
How about this golden trio? They got Angelo Setti, Hatfield, Dasher Hatfield, and then Icarus. What's going on there? That's weird.
I like the 3-Peck-O as well. That's Shane Matthews and Scott Parker with Archibald Peck. That's going to be a great tag team.
You big 3.0 fan? How do you feel about them, Nate?
I'm not the biggest fan just because they kind of act like I know people love them, but they kind of just act like douchebag bros a lot of the time. And
is that their whole gimmick? Really,
that's pretty much their gimmick, but I'm pretty sure it's not their gimmick, you know?
Like, yeah, they're like, they don't have a gimmick.
Yeah, they're just living their lives as wrestlers who, like, you know, say, like
wear their hat, like, to the side and shit, like that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, and, like, you know, say terrible things about women and stuff on Twitter. So it's like,
oh my god, in public, that's horrible.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm pretty sure this isn't an act. I'm pretty sure this is how you are. They're good wrestlers. I mean, they're fun to watch in the ring, but they're not my. If I was going to pick a match to skip, it would probably be whatever they're doing, unless it's with the Colony, in which case I would hope that the Colony won.
Plus, Archie Peck is in that match,
Peck is great. So.
I was going to say, I'm a big Archibald Peck fan, or R.D. Evans, or whatever you want to call the man. He is amazing. But I do want to ask you this. Sin Bodhi, worse than Luger? He's got his little Kizarni gimmick going on. I can't stand that guy. I don't know.
Yeah. So when they restarted Chikara, it was the first time I've seen those guys, Sin Bodhi and the auditorium guys. And I was really excited because I was like, ooh, a weirdo carnival gimmick. Like, I'm into that. But I just don't think they're that, like, he doesn't seem to be a great wrestler. The two guys wrestling with him, I saw them in Chicago, they were okay. Like, they just don't seem to have, they're like all the look, they have a great look, but they don't seem to get it done in the ring for me, so I'm kind of cool on him.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, he's a big thing in Vegas. He's out here trying to promote shows. He's got like a freak show wrestling or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I have zero interest in going to see that. Our boy Louie, at Woo Louie, I think 25, 24, something like that, he just hit us up with a question. How reliable are the Chikara High pay-per-views? Have you ever had one of these?
I've ordered two, and they were both pretty solid. Like, reliable in terms of, like, well, we'll go both ways. I mean, like, I like their shows. I think most of their shows are good. They just have so much good talent, you know?
Yeah, I've never seen a bad Chikara show ever.
Right. So it's like, it's definitely worth the $16 or whatever it is for their iPay reviews. And then they're on the...
There's no connection problems, really?
No, I mean, they're just through the SmartMark video on demand service, so they're pretty... When I've hooked them up, they've been pretty solid. I've just streamed them to the computer and, like, you know, thrown it to the TV or whatever. The quality, they usually have, like, one camera, so that's a problem. It's, like, not a problem, but production value-wise, it's, like, fixed camera. Sometimes they move around a little bit. It's not the greatest audio quality kind of stuff, but... You can see
they
the
also,
show.
Another cool thing about their audio is that they switch commentators a lot, and they have a lot of wrestlers coming in, and that's that always really livens up the show for me, man, because some of these dudes are funny. Some of these dudes in the wet, like, you got Hammermeyer coming in sometimes. Like, I don't know. It's great. I don't know. I'm having a good time. What else you want to talk about, Mike? You got some down or outs over there on the list?
Yeah, I got a couple of down or outs. Down or out, this is like a comic book WWE mashup here. Down or out with The Rock being Black Adam in the Shazam movie. Nate.
I don't know anything about Black Adam or Shazam, so I only know what I read on the internet, which is people seem pro, and that's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about it either. I'm not into the whole DCU, really, outside of Batman, because, you know, it's Batman, and then everything else is obviously lesser, it's just how it works. But I will say, Shazam, I'm not into at all, really. But I have seen pictures and cartoons stuff and all that stuff of Black Adam. I've been him in the video game Injustice. And, like, yeah, The Rock kind of fits that build perfectly. So as Black Adam, casting-wise, I think that's brilliant. I hope he, you know, it just helps him go into the actual movie stardom, unlike John Cena. Like, Mike, what's about it, Mike?
Yeah, I think this is a good move for DC because they could, if they're going to do that Justice League movie and stuff, they're going to have need, you know, a cast of villains. Black Adam, The Rock, It fits, like you said. He has the body type for it. He's the big buff guy. He's exactly what they needed.
He's got the head. He's got the face up too. Like when you look at the pictures of this guy, he looks perfect. And not only that, I feel like comic book movies come down to one thing, and that is, you know, basically your villain. If your villain isn't dope, it's not going to be dope. So I don't give a crap about Shazam anyway. I'm glad they got The Rock in it because now I'm going to watch it. But to do a little segue from comic books, the Toy Spotting Toy of the Week this week was a little outside the wrestling genre, but still featured Batista, because it's Draxtista the Destroyer, baby. You guys see the review? What are you thinking about the Drax as a toy, Mike?
I liked it. It moves just as well as any of the Elite figures that you have.
Yeah, he can break it down, you know what I'm saying? He got moves. He's like a G.I. Joe in bigger form. I love it, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. The match was funny. I like that he's just out there murdering everybody, because that's what he does. In the movie.
Yeah, I couldn't think of like a good match to have, and I was kind of in a rush because like sometimes it's just hard to film around here. So yeah, I ended up just having him just beat the crap out of everybody. He beat up, who was it, Triple H, he beat up The Undertaker, and he beat up John Cena. You had to have that. Nate, what do you think about Drax the Destroyer? Just as the movie, did you watch Guardians of the Galaxy? What do you think about the toy?
I liked the movie. It was super fun. I was pleasantly surprised by Batista in that role. I thought he was actually great. I look forward to his inevitable return with some real face heat from being such a awesome dude in that movie. The real question for me about the toy is, can he catch things that go over his head?
Nothing goes over Drax's head, my friend. Okay, his reflex is too quick. So don't you ever bring that weak shit in here. But yeah, exactly. I love it. Drax is so amazing, dude. I had so much fun. And also, I want to do another plug before we get on out of here, and that is the Straight Shoot Retro Greatest Wrestler of All Time of the Week, and that was none other than Hulk Hogan himself, the Hulkster, his first time ever winning it. It was WrestleMania 5. The Mega Powers exploded all over our faces. It was crazy. Macho Man was obviously amazing in that match. But, you know, despite that, you still kind of pulled for that dickhead Hulk Hogan who's trying to steal his woman and his title. So it's one of those things, we gave it to him. What did you think of WrestleMania 5, Nate?
Man, I didn't. I was traveling and stuff. I didn't get a chance to watch it, rewatch it on the way up to Straight Shoot Retro because I'm the worst fan. But
no, you made the right decision, man. There were so many goddamn matches.
It sounded like I would have fallen asleep because. Once, I mean, I love wrestling, but those long-ass pay-per-views with a bunch of matches that don't mean much, I fall asleep because I don't know, I'm narcoleptic or something.
Draxtista gave WrestleMania 5 two thumbs down, so, I mean, it's one of those things.
I enjoyed listening to Straight Shoot Retro about WrestleMania 5 probably more than I would enjoy watching the entire show front to back by myself.
Yeah, I have gone back and, like, re-listened to our episode, but, man, I laughed my ass over doing it, so, I mean, that's on camera or whatever the fuck. Did you watch or listen to any of that crap, Mike?
No, I looked up the match card, like, on Wikipedia or whatever, and noticed that there's, like, 87 matches on it, and I was like, this thing's got to be at least 7 hours. Like, how the fuck did they fit all this in there with all these people, and then still had Hogan and Savage at the top of this card? And I was like, I'm not watching this.
And show highlights at the end, and all this other crap. It was terrible. But anyway, yeah, the Toy Spot Toy of the Week, Drax Tisa, greatest wrestler of all time of the week. Hulk Hogan, baby. So anyway, that's the Beard and Hat Connection. That's my man, Nathan D. Pauletta. Tell him, you want to plug anything on the way out of here? Tell him about that Kickstarter one more time.
Yeah, so Kickstarter, Worldwide Wrestling RPG, that'll find it. Twitter, at ND Pauletta, P-A-O-L-E-T-T-A. My website is ndpdesign.com. You can see my other games there. I got Gothic Horror. I got Fighting Robots. I got Time Travel, all kinds of stuff. Circle me up on Google Plus. That's where all the RPG nerds hang out. So there you go.
Oh, nice. That's good to know for the future.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, what about you? You want to plug anything, baby?
Yeah, plug it up. Twitch TV. I got all that stuff going on there. This is going to be a big week for me and Jeff in the video game world. I'm going to be picking up Destiny on Tuesday, so I'll be streaming some of that stuff out. Tuesday also, NHL 15 comes out, so we're going to jump back on the EASHL bandwagon. Unfortunately, that will not be streamed, but it will be tweeted about because we're talking shit.
Yeah,
we're coming for you.
As we win all those championships, you guys got to hear about them. I'm sure we'll put them on Instagram. You know, we post pictures. We hook it up for you people. Anyway, I am a Vanilla Midget at VanillaMidget.com. Check out the hashtag NOC as United Champions giveaway because me and my boy at Bushido Blog are doing the first ever real toy spotting giveaway. And so basically all you have to do is follow me at a Vanilla Midget, follow at Bushido Blog, and then tweet something with the hashtag NOC giveaway, and you'll be entered to win the toy spotting giveaway, which is either a Brock Lesnar, John Cena figure of your choice. I mean, it's Superstar Entrances series, but you get to pick which one you want. And that's pretty much it. You could also find that on VanillaLidget.com if I talk too fast or too stupid, whatever the fuck. And that's pretty much it. This has been the Beard and Hat Connection. Straight shoot on Monday. I'm on talking after Raw with ProGraps Lady and obviously Aubrey Sitterson, hashtag Shitterson's ass. That'll be fun. I'll also somehow be watching the Giants game on Monday. I don't know how the fuck I'm going to work that. And that's pretty much it. Everybody have a good weekend. Peace, motherfuckers. Or shit, baby.